kinds of things going on. And but nonetheless, we love you all, and we're grateful, and we understand things happen, and you got to do what you got to do. And like I said, you know, here we don't badger you about that. I believe in personal choice, you know, because at the end of the day, you don't want to have to stand before God and give an account, not me. Amen. Amen. All right. So if you tell you about, we've been working for the whole month. We've been working on mentality. How many of you know that some of you got to change your mentality? I don't know about you, but I've realized that even as I go, I got to change my mentality. There's always like what? Getting better. There's always the next level. There's always something else that I could do. There's always something that we could do, because that's always what you don't ever reach all in God. There's what? Multiple levels of God, right? And he'll take you to another one, and he'll take you to another one. But God is infinite, right? So as soon as you think you get there, there's some more levels. And as soon as you think you beat that, it's the never-ending story. There's always something else that he's put there for you to do. So as we've been reading, we talked about this in the form of machine learning. And I explained to you, and for those who don't know, I hit it real quick, that you know, in computer science, they had this form of literature called machine learning. And basically what they do is you program the computer how to make its own decisions. This is what we call like our smartphone and all these things, that it can over time pick up tendencies that you do and automatically go ahead and do them before you decide them. Now, how many of you actually went to Google sometime? You know, when you go in Google, you start to put in the first couple of words that you want to say, and then what Google do? It'll put in the rest of probably what you almost wanted to say sometime. Or sometimes they give you a list. And sometimes what you were going to write is in the list. Did it read your brain? How did it know that? Well, it knew that because over a tendency of time, everybody who started to type out those first couple of words were looking for something similar or what you were looking for. Does that make sense? This is why it's important that we as believers that we come together. Why? Because there's somebody who's been through something similar or close to, or even in fact, what you've been through right here in this house. So what we have in fact then is that we have a catalog of experiences, okay? You know, and we used to say this in the fraternity, that experience is a tough teacher. It gets the test first and you learn the lesson later, right? So, you know, experience say, I figured it out. We used to also say that experience is what you get when you didn't get what you want, right? You know, like, if I got what I want, I'm all happy about it. But if I didn't get it, well, it was a good experience. Ain't that what we say? It's all right to laugh all in here this morning. Amen. You know, so I used to say all the time, like, no, it was a good experience, meaning that, you know, I didn't get exactly what it was that I wanted. So this experience is that now we take. Those things are taken and they put into a program and they make decisions based on what? Probabilities of you doing something. So that's just how they're able to predict that. Now, what I'm suggesting is that what? Our bodies are a machine. It is. Why? Because we can think about it in a machine. When I think about the cars, or I think about a truck or whatever, if there's a broke part on it, what do? I call the factory, I call the manufacturer, or whoever the place, or whatever the place is, the shop, and ask them for a certain part. And what they do is give me what they call a replacement part. Right? And now I'm able to take out that bad part and put in a new part, and it keeps going. We do this with our bodies all the time. Sometimes people lose limbs. We make artificial limbs. We transfer organs. We ain't got to the point. We've gotten so good that we actually can grow them now, and some of them actually do work. We've done almost everything except what? Clone the mind, and trust me, they're working on that. They'll never be successful at that, but they're working on it. Don't mean it ain't going to stop them from trying to work on it. It's just like that Tower of Babel, right? God said if he didn't come down and confuse the languages, they might have actually succeeded. Why? Because the people were on one accord. So if you notice one thing throughout the entire Bible and throughout all our Bible studies, you notice that God always honors one accord. Show me one time in the Bible where he did not honor them being on one accord. He honors our marriages when we get on one accord. He honors all our relationships when we get on one accord. This is why he tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, because then we're on one accord with him. And the blessings have to flow down. Why? Because we're on one accord. On the day of Pentecost, they said that what? They were all there in one place on one accord. When the people, he said, well, if my people, humble themselves and pray, they get on one accord. Seek my face, they all together. Turn from their evil ways, they all together. Then I will what? Remove their sins, and then I will heal their land. So again, it's what? One accord. So this oneness thing, this oneness, that's all part of this oneness. So now we have this set of data, and this data that we set is taken, and now that they're able to automatically predict the things that you need, that you want or you need without any thought. It makes them more efficient. right? It makes life a little easier for you. Amen? Well, I would submit to you that God has done the same thing for us here in the book of Matthew. We're in Matthew 5 and 5 and starting at 3. We have these things called the Beatitudes. And as we've been dealing with our mentality all year, that God is what? He's dealing with our attitude. You know, some things have happened to me over the last couple of months I'm not very happy about. And I'm finding it ironic or just, you know, on time that God is starting to, you know, deal with my attitude towards some things. Peter, it's not so much that you don't have the experience. Peter, it's not so much that you can't do it. Because I've blessed you beyond that. I've already told you that everything that you put your hand to was what promised to grow. But how you look at it, how you perceive it, matters to me. And it matters to God. So what I believe God has done, and we've been what dissecting this whole month, is that God has given us a set of data, a set of experiences. He's already told you, if you do these things, this is how they're going to turn out. So what I'm submitting to you today, brothers and sisters, both here and on the internet and on the podcast, is that if we take those experiences and we plug them into our machine, what happens is we automatically, oh, come on, somebody, that we automatically respond the way that he has with us to respond. We automatically have the attitude that he will have with us to have. We will automatically do the right thing. Why? Because now it's part of who we are. It's in our DNA, and we're being what? Continually trained. But how do I know where to start? The Beatitudes. Let this be your attitude as we talk about mentality. So let's go Matthew 5 and 3. As I pull this up here, come on, internet. One, boom, 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 boom. All right. Matthew 5 and 3. Matthew 5 and 3. When you have it, say amen. All right, and he says this. So these are the Beatitudes. This is when Jesus gives them the Beatitudes. But most specifically today, we're working on 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8. And it says this. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I didn't even have to say anything else after that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The next one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So the two we're dealing with today, the two new attitudes that you're going to work on this week, is your mercy and your pureness of heart. Your mercy and your pureness of heart. So if I was to use for a subject today, and I see y'all bear with me, we'll be out here in a little bit. When I can, but my heart won't. When I can, but my heart won't. I don't know about you, but sometimes people can do some things to you that are just vicious. Sometimes we don't have to have done anything to anybody. We could have been nice and we could have taken care of people. We could have given people our last. We could have opened up doors for them. We could have been this, but then sometimes people still give you, as what we say, their foot to kiss. We've done over and beyond. Why? Because we just want it from the pureness of our heart that I just want to see everybody saved. I want to see everybody win. I want to see everybody be able to take care of their family. And then what we have to come to this stark realization is that everybody don't want to do that. Even though you desire it in your heart and you desire a good thing, this is not what they desire. And what I find sometimes as a believer, I find myself frustrated because I want more for them than they want for themselves. I want more for them. I want God to prosper them more than they want to be prospered. I want more for them. And what I find is I find myself in a place of frustration to the point that I say, you know what, the hell with all of it. And just let them be. But God is changing my attitude. Because what I'm understanding is my pureness in heart cannot be tainted by somebody else's inability to accept what God is doing for them through me. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's hard to do that. Why? Because we human. We have these things called feelings, right? And we live in this space and we move in this space. But God said, well, it's going to be the pure in heart that's going to see him. And I was looking up that word pure. When we look at pure, pure means 100% without into any imperfections. So you can have something that's just pure and it can be bad, but it's still pure.
This could be pure acid. It doesn't change the fact that it's still not pure. So we must be careful that the key word here, that pure, is just being an adjective to describe what one thing is. We know anything, if English class, and I'm a mathematician, so y'all, my English teachers help me if I got this wrong, but they tell me that it gives some kind of description, verb, to that which is in front of it. So it tells you a little bit more about it before you get there. So if it's pure, what? Pure hearts. Which means that God is looking at not the pureness, but my heart. And if my heart is pure, what is he suggesting then? That we are what? Reflections of him, because we're made in his image. So if my heart is pure, that means my heart looks like his. And that means he recognizes his heart. So therefore, I get to see God because he recognizes my pure heart. So he's looking at our hearts. Do you have pure heart? Are your intentions pure? Sometimes I'll be up first to admit, my intentions ain't always pure on certain things. I might have done this because maybe this is going to politically put me in a better position. Because this is how the world plays. And this is why the Bible constantly reminds us that what? That we're in the world, but what? We're not of the world. So therefore, I cannot play the world system. Because what I'm going to find out is that every single time I'm going to get burnt, and I'm going to be burnt bad, and I'm going to be hurt, and then I'm going to be in this place of dissolution and depression, and I'm going to find out that it was self-induced. How many of us been there? Because that's how the world plays, right? Well, I'm going to do this for Tommy, and I hope that when my time comes, Tommy going to do this for me, right? It seems logical. So Tommy, you did that for Tommy. You went over and beyond, and then here come your turn, and Tommy act like he didn't know you. You weren't in there. You don't understand. But Tommy, it was like that for me too, and I gave you the benefit of the doubt. Let me remind you of something. People gonna always vote themselves, especially those outside the household of faith. This is a lesson that your pastor's learned over and over and over. But Lord, I just want to do because it's the right thing. I've learned this. Be pure in heart in your intention. Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, and let the chips fall where they may. Because we cannot win playing their games. Why? Because we're not made for that system. You already are an outlier. You know what an outlier is? It's that thing that sticks out. When you walk into the room, their talk changes. When you walk in the room, what they were saying changes. When you walk around, you can tell people get a little fidgety. Why? Because when the fire's around, oh, come on, somebody, the heat feels. You feel the heat. Y'all tell me it was quite hot over here yesterday. You feel the heat. So when you walk in the room, don't count it strange when people don't want to say certain things or talk to you. They feel the fire. And the fire is either going to do one or two things. It's either going to draw or it's going to repel. And those that it repel, good riddance. And those that draw, let me show you why, because I can let you get some of this flame and share it with somebody else. Do you not realize and understand that a fire is one of those few things that you can share infinitely and it does not change the size? Think about that candle. Y'all hear me use that example all the time. How many times can you put another candle in that candle? As long as the candle will burn. And everybody else, what? They walk away with the same size flame that you had. Now, I think sometimes as believers, our problem is we like, well, Lord, I've been working this flame 50 years. Why is that flame the same size as mine? Ask God for a bigger candle. Because the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. You ask him, Lord, it ain't no such thing as, Lord, I got more Holy Ghost than this person. He said there's a measure of faith, right? I can have more faith than this person did, but the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. You got the same one that I got. The difference between probably you and me being here is my measure of faith in the call on my life. That's it. The power and the anointings and the things that God's calling some of you all to do, it's the measure of faith that you have in that area. The Holy Ghost is what? The power. Think about this plug here in the wall. What would this plug? Anything. I mean, what would it power? Anything that I could plug in it. Right? It'll power it up if it's rated for that. So there's some things that are below that, it'll definitely power, right? And there's some things that are exactly ready for that. And then if you got something that's too big for that, what happens? It shuts it down and you have to go get a bigger line. And this is what God does with you and I. It's a plug. any appliance you plug in here. So yes, if he blessed Brother John to do this, this is still the Holy Ghost. Just plug in, baby, and you're going to get the power. This is those who have the anointing for healing. Just plug in. You still got the power. Those who have the anointing to teach, plug in. You still got power. It doesn't matter because the power source is the same, but the differences is what the talents and the things that he's given us, and it starts with what? Our pureness in the hearts. Am I helping anybody here tonight, this morning? It starts there with you. So, yes, we need what you have, but what we all have the same Holy Ghost, and how you operate in the Holy Ghost is determined by your measure of faith. And he already told you, it don't take much. He said, take a mustard seed, and you can move a mountain. Take a mustard seed, and you can speak to the mountain and tell itself what? Throw itself into the sea, and the mountain will literally get up and throw itself into the sea. Can you imagine speaking to Mount Kilimanjaro and say, throw yourself into the sea? That's a powerful thing. Faith is a powerful thing. If I could just have a size of a mustard seed, and for those of you who don't know, mustard seed is very, very small. It looks like almost like it's a little bit bigger than a grain of salt. You can have just that much and tell a mountain to move itself. That makes me question then, Lord, how much faith do I even have? Because I didn't spoke to the mountain and it didn't move. So that means I must not have even a mustard seed. So that means there's some work I have to do. And how did I get that? From these experiences. And changing my attitude towards how I work with things. There's an old saying that said that I'm convinced that what? 90% of the things in life that happen to me can be changed by what? How I work with my attitude. So our attitude is everything. So then he goes on, he also tells them about mercy. He said, for you to obtain mercy, you must give mercy. Now mercy, what is mercy? Mercy is one of these things that when I should have, or when I can, and I have the power to really stick it to you, I don't do it. Now, I don't know about you, because some of us are some very vengeance people. The Bible tells us what? The vengeance belongs to God. And the reason I believe he says that, and this is just healing 101, the reason I believe he said that vengeance belongs to the Lord, because I think some of us will go overboard. Y'all seen them little gangster movies. The dude could have stepped on his shoe. And okay, then say him just going back, stepping on his shoe. What'd he do? Pull out a gun and he shoot him. You ain't gonna step on nobody else's shoe. Right? We've seen this kind of stuff, right? Because we as people, we don't have judgment. He tells us that we can judge, but he said, just know that when you judge, you're gonna be judged at that same level. So when people are, nobody can judge me but God, that's baloney. It's in the Bible, they misread it. It's clear as day. He said, judge, unless ye be judged by the same measure. Read all of it. Stop listening to Tupac. He don't know what he's talking about. He got him being judged right now. So that what? Even in that judgment, I'm judged by what I'm saying to him. So now, look at my life versus what I just said about him. Am I in the same situation, same category? How am I holding up? Do you see what I'm saying? So even in this, if we were trying to act back in vengeance, most of us wouldn't know where to stop. Because these emotions take over. Because we're going on actually how it made us feel than actually what it was actually done. Let me give you an example. Some of you have possessions and things that people have left you. You know, I have my grandfather's car. And I get, and my wife will tell you, people stop by, and I get stopped all the time. People asking me about their car. And would you sell it? And I always tell them, you don't have enough money. That car does have a price tag of what it's worth in a legitimate value. But because my emotions are tied into that, that's my granddaddy's car. That's the car that I want my son to have if it's the Lord's will. This is something I want to stay in my family for as long as I can keep it. Since I have that kind of emotional investment in it, there's not enough money for that. So therefore, if somebody offered me X amount of dollars, it'd be tempting, but I know what I already have set. And this is what happened with many of us. We already know and how we have things set in our mind. So therefore, what? If we went back and we tried to be vengeance, we wouldn't do it right. Because you'd be like, my daddy gave me that chain, right? Come on, somebody. All right. So do you see what I'm saying? So then we'll go over. But nonetheless, he said mercy. So mercy, I could have, but I don't. And because I don't, what he's saying is, there'll be a time when you may need the same mercy and grace extended to you, and it will be there for you. You're not looking at a perfect man. You're looking at a person who's done a whole lot of stuff. A lot of stuff I'm not proud of. But you're also looking at somebody who God has obtained, given a lot of mercy to.
There's some things I've done, not intentionally, but you know, one or two things I've done that I could have gotten a lot of trouble for. A lot of trouble for. But what, you know what? At the same time, God allowed the officer I was working with to extend me some what? Mercy. He could have, because the letter of the law said, even if it was an accident, this is what's supposed to happen. Right? How many of y'all ever had a little mercy extended to you? Yes, officer, I was driving too fast. I was going 75 into 45. I was trying to get to church on time, but he can write your ticket because you were breaking the law. When this posted, it was only 40 or 35, and you were going 75, and you knew you were doing it. Or he can extend a little mercy. Would you say a prayer for me? And slow down next time, please. I've gotten that mercy sometime. I want it a lot more, but I've gotten it sometime. We all have done things where people, a situation could have came back and said, you know what, this is what you deserve. The Bible tells us that we all deserve death. Because the Bible says it like he said, the wages of sin is death, but yet the gift of God is eternal life. So when you sinned, you were supposed to have been dead on the spot. When you messed up, you're supposed to have been dead on the spot. When you got out of line, when you said what you said, when you've done what you've done, you're supposed to have been done, benito, finish, right there on the spot. But this thing called mercy. On the Ark of the Covenant, they call it the mercy seat. And I find it ironic that in the mercy seat, what was in the mercy seat, between the mercy seat, was God's power. His anointing flowed between the mercy seats. That's why it's set in the middle of the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to teach that one day. In the middle of the Ark, right? You know, they call it the mercy seat. Because that was where his mercy, when I messed up, when I screwed up, when I should have thrown it, when I threw in the towel, when I got off right, when I was over here doing things I shouldn't have been doing, that God extended mercy upon me. So he said, if you are merciful, then I can give it to somebody else. Let me bring it home with you one more time, and I'm going to get out of here because I'm tired and I'm beat it to death. But how many of you give blood? So, you know, there's always a shortage of blood, and y'all old negative people, they looking for y'all, Pastor Hyden. But so they say the old negative person is the universal donor. It's because you don't have any antigens in your blood. O is a base blood, which they say I think most of the African-Americans have. Not African-American, just African, I think, in general, or people of color. And when you negative, that means you don't have anything in this. Your blood is pretty much as pure as you can get. Anybody else, if they have a plus or they have an AB, they have other things in their blood. So you think about it like you go to Home Depot today and you want to go buy some paint. And you tell them, I want to get this red paint. They just don't have red paint sitting on the shelf. Now, back in the day, they did, right? And you went there, they was out, they were out. But what they do now is they go up there, you'll see the lady or the gentleman, they'll go get this base white, right? And they'll put it under that machine, and that machine does what? It drops some red dye in there, whatever amount, you know, it's computer generated. And then they'll put it in that thing, and they'll shake it all up. And when that thing gets through shaking, you got red paint on the spot. So that O negative blood, think about it like that, that it can be whatever it is it needs to be. But one of the things I found interesting about blood is not free. It's actually quite expensive. And they tell me for every pint of blood you give, if you ever come to the point that you need it, then it's given to you. So think about terms of mercy of that, is that I've already been saving up some. I may not ever need it. But I know it's helping somebody else right now in their time of need. Because if they don't get this old negative blood, then they're not going to make it. They got to have blood because the life is in the blood. And if they don't have this blood right now, so while I have life, while I have the ability to give it, then what? I give the blood. Because there may come a time I may need that same reciprocity of blood being given to me. And because I gave blood, I obtained blood. I gave mercy, I obtained mercy. So when I could, but my heart won't. Why? Because I can, but my heart, because my heart is pure, it won't let me. And this is why we work in pureness of heart, brothers and sisters. Why? So that when that thing raises up inside of me, when they said something or they called one of my relatives out of their name, or they done something to me, or they took advantage of me, or they done something to my wife, they done something to my brother, or they done something to my sister,
that thing raises up in me. And when I could, I don't. Why? Because of the pureness of my heart. I'm going to get this last one, and I'm going to close. And I hope the first lady won't get me. If so, she'll get me later. Y'all know that, you know, not too long ago, we bought a home. And my wife and I, you know, we're thrifty shoppers. And that, you know, we have nice things, but we just find them at bargains. You know, my wife is just blessed to have that ability, right? And so we like doing yard sales, because we like fixing stuff. You know, we think we DIY people. You know, you see stuff on TV. Let's fix this up and sell it. Or let's do this and that. And sometimes things come out great. Sometimes not so great. Sometimes they eBay. Sometimes they're garbage, okay? So we was walking through our neighborhood. And our neighborhood, you know, some of the people on the other side, you know, have little means, or at least they appear to be. And as we were walking through the neighborhood, we was going from yard sale to yard sale, seeing what other people have, you know, just like everybody else, found some great things, you know, that she wanted. We took advantage of that. And we got to this one particular house. It was there, and the wife was looking at some shelving. And there was some shelving that we thought we could reuse. And with us being able to reuse that shelving, she'd be able to put it on the wall, and we could do this and that, or whatever she needed to do. Now, with that shelving, we went to buy that shelving. And since we're kind of new to the neighborhood, I'm always thinking, the Bible said, he that shows himself friendly has friends. I never know who I'm going to need when I'm going to need them, and vice versa. So here I am, we showing ourselves friendly, and we introduce ourselves, yada, yada, you know, we live around the corner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, yeah, my name is Peter, and this is my wife, Felicia. And it was all right, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And after we made our purchase, and we're walking away, and they wave bye, and the wife says, bye, Felicia. Let me say it again. Bye, Felicia. Now, y'all who know, y'all have not been in a couple, y'all know that the bye, Felicia phrase is not just bye, Felicia. It's another slang or colloquium that is thought have been used in the community to say other things that are not becoming to other people, but they say them kind of tongue in cheek. Meaning that I didn't really say that, but I said it, but I really didn't say it. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all sleeping here on me today? Y'all, so here we are, and I heard it, but it didn't quite rest. And I saw my wife's face, and I knew it immediately. I said, uh-oh, this is not good. Because she was didn't talk to us the entire time. Just the husband talked to us most of the time while we was purchasing. And I'm thinking, we just purchased something from you. Now, mind you, these were, as I call them, our light-skinned brothers and sisters. That they still all our brothers and sisters, regardless. So, mind you, they said this, but I'm thinking, now, here I am, you know, I am the protector of my home, so, you know, this is my wife, so now I have a choice to make. And she has a choice to make, because I can tell she's not happy, because it was disrespectful. Now, sometimes some people don't know what they're doing. Sometimes some people know exactly what they're doing. In this case, I would like to think they knew what they were doing, but I have to get the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they don't know what they're doing. They think it's just funny because they've seen it on TV, right? Or they think they're being cute. And sometimes, this is really, then sometimes your cuteness will get you the beat down, right? We know this, right? We've seen this in the streets. Yeah, you find out real quick that they won't cute no more, right? Like I said, my daddy bought me that chain. So look, when I look at this, and we had a choice to make, we were walking away, and it's like, and I could tell on her face that it just taken all the joy out of what we were doing. You know, me spending time with her. We walk around the neighborhood. I know this is something she likes to do. We're going out here. We're trying to find bargains and find things to continually furnish our home. And now this person lives like around the corner from us, and we're going to deal with this. And I'm not going to lie. Pastor still has some things in his heart that he's getting strained out of there, because now when I drive by the house, I ain't going to lie, I do feel a certain way some days. Because it does what? It takes me back. And that's why I got to work on that. Why? Because now that means they have a stronghold in my house that I've given them permission to do that. And you know what? They ain't probably even thought about it. Because like I said, there is a serious opportunity that they didn't even know what they were doing. And I often ask myself, do I stop by the house and knock on the door and say, you remember that time you said this? And they probably be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But it made me feel this kind of way. So now I have a decision to make. Do I let it go, or do I go confront it? Is it worth me doing that? I ask myself oftentimes, you know, where would that settle? Would my wife feel better? Well, is that worth me doing it just to feel better? Or do I just extend some mercy? And knowing that, you know what, there might have been something you said, Peter, that somebody else felt the same exact way. Not that I called them the by Felicia, but I might have said something else. And we don't, and the thing is about we as people, sometimes, you know, especially you have somebody like me who interact with a lot of people, and I talk an awful lot, because sometimes I just have to because of what I do and the people I interact with. Every now and then I do this thing where I call put my foot in my mouth. And I promise you, 96.7% of the time, for me, it was really, I did not know what I was saying. Well, I didn't know what I was doing. I remember one time we was having a conversation, and yeah, y'all really about to laugh now. And my wife and I was having this conversation, I think the sister brought back at our old church, and I was saying something. I said, yeah, I'm gonna go after him like a bulldagger or something like this. And she was like, do you know what a bulldagger is? I'm like, oh, yes, this person. And then she was like, oh, no, you kind of need to go look that up. And we went and looked it up, and I was kind of like, oh, I see what she was saying. Sometimes we do this. But that's why I'm also trying to tell you, this is why also you need to be able to give mercy. And know that, okay, because I know them, I know their heart, that I know that didn't come out that way. Sometimes I've been accused of things. He looked at me a certain way, or he said this about me, or his tone of voice. Y'all hear me today? I'm on 10 now. Right now, my ear is going in and out. That's why you hear me keep my sinuses acting up. Because what? I can't hear myself, and also the microphone don't work, so I don't know if y'all hear me, right? I know it probably sounds like I'm screaming the whole time, but that's why I feel right now because of what's going on. So it's not that I want to scream at you, but I feel like I have to project my voice because we don't have the microphone working today. But somebody who watched this broadcast later on might be like, that pastor screamed the whole 2 hours. Do you see what I'm saying? When I'm having some inner ear issues, that's why I keep grabbing my ear. Do you see what? So until you know everything, then you might find out, oh, he's not a screamer. It was just that day because the microphone didn't work. Then with the rain outside and then the air conditioning and all this stuff, and his ears started clogging up and he couldn't hear himself. He sounded like he was in a tunnel. Yet I press on. So what I'm saying is this mercy thing. Let's extend some mercy. Yes, you could, but your heart shouldn't why? Because you know what the intentions are. If everything was good, if they were not under stress, if they were not in this situation, if they were not in that circumstance, would they do right by you? That's what I asked myself. Now, in that sense, no, we didn't like that. Going back to the story. But I do believe, I just believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I do believe if they really knew what that was and how it made people feel, those people didn't get where they got over there in that neighborhood by just being nasty to people all the time. Just don't work that way. So I do believe that they will be sincerely apologetic, and that's what I choose to believe because I choose the way I feel. And even if I'm wrong, I'm choosing the high road, as Michelle Obama said, when they go low, I go high. I'm choosing to see it this way. I'm choosing with my PMA, my positive mental attitude, to look at it this way because I'm not going to let that thing continue to live in my house. So every time we in our neighborhood, we go by them, or even we see them, or we see them on the side of the road where the car broke down, we don't drive out and be like, oh, sucks to be you. Are y'all feeling me today? Are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you today? So our positive mental attitude, it matters. Your mentality matters. And I'm saying that when you have the attitude that I could, but my heart won't, the Bible said that you will get mercy when your time comes. The Bible tells me that you will obtain favor when your time comes. My Bible tells me that you will be in a position that what you can see God. Why? Because of the pureness of your intentions in where? Your heart. So do everything you can to what? Keep your heart to keep your heart clean before God. Because he said, what? It's the pure in heart who will get to see God. I'm done. God bless you all. I love you all. Do anybody in here, I know we didn't already pray, but if there's anybody who need any prayer, I do want to pray for all our children and our teachers. I know many of them are going back. I know tomorrow will be our first day back at the university. Even though I've been back, but it'll be our first day back, amen. I know some of the children are preparing to go back to school, and we want to pray.